and Pharaoh
will be subservient to you. And you even give him a prophet, somebody he can compare notes with. Lord, do it for us.
Amen.
In this generation. From what I will share, write instructions in the heart of your people. That it becomes their own revelation. Not what they heard from Brother Isaac. But that they will have understanding of these things. And also have what it takes to address it. Because these things are in our foundation. You've spoken to us that this is what is holding Africa back from becoming a kingdom of righteousness. Lord, we make room for you. Have your way. Even as we share this morning, we speak to the waters. We speak to all the bodies of water in Nigeria. From Ekpe to Badagry, to the Niger, to Bayelsa, to Sokoto, to Zamfara. All the bodies of water in Nigeria. We speak to them. We speak to the kingdoms in those waters. And Lord, we ask that as we speak, your blood will drop upon those waters. That the configuration will begin to change to accommodate your end time moves and desires in our nation. Father, that is our prayer. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. So, I like to welcome all the brethren that are joining us from yesterday night that we have not welcomed. May the Lord honor you for coming. Especially, I like to welcome my wife. Welcome. My wife doesn't have part two. It's only part one. You know, Nollywood movies, you can have 8 parts. But this one is only part one. No part two. No other part. Amen. Well done. Okay, so let's look at our Bible. We want to begin to bring the issue of the waters that we will have understanding in this area. I like to read from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, from verse 10 to 14. It says, "And the river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into 4 heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is delium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now this scripture tells us that the first thing God did when he created man in the garden is that he caused a river to flow from his throne. And this river, as it came out of his throne, was parted or divided, and it became into 4 heads. So this river had 4 branches. And then from verse 11, we see the different branches of this river. It mentions the first one, Pison, the second, Gihon, the third, Hiddekel, and the fourth, Euphrates. So it is safe for us to conclude that after God created the earth, the primary channel he ordained to be a blessing to the earth was through this river that came from the very place of his presence. I'm going to show you in the book of Revelation that it is so. Because anything you see in Genesis and see it in Revelation, it's just telling you that it's a pattern, it's a foundation of God. And we know that these rivers are physical rivers because River Euphrates and River Hiddekel or Tigris are still bearing the same name today. And these are rivers that originated from somewhere in present-day Turkey. And then it flows through a long course, goes through some Arab nations, including Saudi Arabia and Iraq, and then empties into a channel that is called the Suez Canal. And these regions where these rivers pass are places of wealth and abundance. If you talk of Saudi Arabia, you talk of oil. If you talk of Iraq, you talk of oil. And this Suez Canal is one of the most contested places on earth, because any power that seizes that channel, it can block the flow of oil to Europe. So these are physical rivers. Therefore, it tells us that the other two are also physical rivers. If you get a good Bible, you will see that Gihon is the present-day River Nile. If you bring some old Bibles, you will see this river described also as River Nile. Now, we have gone to the source of the Nile in 2014 in Uganda. The Nile flows from a little village and then flows in a line to the middle of a lake, the Victoria Lake, Lake Victoria. And then it flows in an unnatural way from south to north. Now, it's easy for rivers to flow north to south. We know the reason, because of gravity. But this one, God just commanded it, you should flow the opposite direction. And it flows from south to north, goes through 11 African countries, and passes through Sudan, Egypt, and then empties in Egypt, where it forms a very big river and very good source of wealth. Now, the Nile comes from two sources. There is the one they call the White Nile that comes from Jinja, which is a small village in Uganda. And another one comes from somewhere in Ethiopia. And they meet in Sudan and begins to flow north. Goes through, like I said, 11 African countries before emptying in Egypt. So, which river now is River Pisonia? Let's look at verse 11 again. It says, the name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now, the Lord began to give us revelation that the River Pison is actually the River Nile. River Niger, sorry. The River Niger. And then, recently, I began to see some scientific sources that confirm that Pison is actually the River Niger. Now, the River Niger starts in a small village in Guinea. Now, the place where the river has its source sits about 9,000 meters above sea level in the Futajalon Mountains in Guinea. And if you go to this place and see where this water is coming from, you will marvel at the deepness of God, because it's just a very small place. Maybe when we come in the night, we'll show you the pictures. Because in 2014, the Lord asked us to go there to pray at the source of the Niger. And I went with Brother Joel. And there we began to understand some of the things that make the Fulani nation tick. Because the village that houses this river Niger is actually a Fula village. You know, Fulanis are a small community that came from Guinea. In Guinea, Fulanis have never been able to take power in Guinea, because other ethnic nationalities in Guinea have seen how they behave when you give them power. And each time, even if a goat comes for an election and a Fulani man comes, the other ethnic groups will cooperate to make sure that he doesn't take power. And then through sorcery and divination, they came here and began to do some things to take hold of this nation. So, the Paison River is a river Niger. This river starts in Guinea and then goes through some African countries, including Mali, Benue Republic, and then it enters Nigeria, comes to Kogi State, where it meets with another river that comes from Cameroon. And then it flows down south, past Delta State, Anambra State, and then empties into the Atlantic, forming one of the most important places of wealth in the nation. The Niger Delta area is actually one of the wealthiest places on earth. Now, this tells us that waters are connected with wealth. That is why when Satan wants to seize the wealth of the nation, he goes to the waters. It's not that the devil is inventing a new thing, because he doesn't have capacity to create. What he's just doing is to corrupt something God has done and then seize it and then begin to use it against us. So, there are different bodies of waters on earth, as we will see from the Bible. I read for you Genesis chapter 2 from verse 10, and we see that this water comes from God's presence. So because it comes from God's presence, it has to be good. But then if we read the Bible, we see that the bodies of waters on the earth are not all the same. They come from different sources. And I'm going to show you from scripture. If we turn back a little to Genesis chapter 1 and read from verse 1, it says, "And in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So the deep is the body of water that came upon the earth at the time God judged the rebellion of Satan in heaven. If you read Jeremiah chapter 4, you will see that as a result of that darkness, disorder and chaos came upon the earth. So the water of the deep is always associated with judgment and disorder. And there are different some bodies of water on the earth today that have its origin from the deep. One example is the Congo River. Because the bodies of water come from different sources, what people use them to do are also different. So if a water comes from the deep, you can see that it's water that is associated with judgment. You can see that that water would have accommodated a good number of fallen angels. Because when they were expelled from heaven, they landed upon the planetary systems, and majority of them took residence in the waters and began to build their kingdom there. If you go to Cross River State of Nigeria, you know, that is why it's the most suitable place to make transactions concerning Nigeria. Because that place is the eastern gate of the nation. That water is actually the water on the eastern gate. Now, if you go there, you are going to see a kingdom inside that water that is swallowing up the wealth of that place. If you go to the Cross River area, it's supposed to be one of the richest places in Nigeria. But all the initiatives that have been brought there, none of them has prospered. Remember, we invested billions of dollars on a free trade zone in Calabar. That development is taking place under the ocean. And there are things praying men there must overcome to force that wealth to come upland. And that is why God is teaching us about the priesthood that is able to deal with the waters. Then, Genesis chapter 7, we see another body of water. The body of water that originated from the flood that came on the earth at the time of Noah. Let me read a few verses. From verse 4, the Lord was speaking to Noah. He said, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according unto all the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years. Now, let me read from verse 10. You see where the source of the flood came from. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. The same day, verse 11, all the fountains of the great deep were broken. The windows of heaven were opened, and rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So the water of the flood came as a result of God judging the dispensation of Noah. God spoke, and the tectonic plate that held the underground water in place broke. The fountains of the deep were broken. Water came from heaven, and then it caused a flood on the earth. Now God dried the flood to cause Noah that escaped from the flood to have a landing pad, but that body of water is still upon the earth. One water in Nigeria that comes from this flood is the River Benue. Now that is why the Kogi Confluence is actually one of the places to address the issues of Nigeria. And Satan understands these architectures, and that is why he raised people to go there. You remember that at a time, Lokoja was the capital of Nigeria. Do we know that from history? Do we know from history? That is why, that is where Lord Lugard lived. That is why Flora Shaw was there. And that is why she had access to the confluence. And it was there she used to go and make divination and meet with water spirit. And it was from there she spoke concerning Nigeria. Nigeria means this will be an area of darkness. This will be a thick zone for occultism and sorcery. That is what she declared. And then the men of our nation, because they saw she had some wealth, subscribed to it. And then that word took hold of our nation. But thank God we have dealt with it yesterday. Amen. And that configuration will no longer stand.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, if you understand the source of a water and what it does, you will also know how to deal with that water. The water of the flood is a water of affliction. And what happened in the confluence is a marriage where Satan was wedded to Nigeria. That water came from Cameroon, Benue River, and married the woman who said she was Nigeria in that place. That place is the navel of Nigeria. We've gone there to stand and pray. If you are standing in that wide place in the confluence, you are standing in the middle of Nigeria. So that is the place to inject things into the nation. That is also the place to bring Nigeria out of the water of affliction. Then, the third source of water, if we read another scripture, Genesis chapter 11. No, Deuteronomy chapter 11. The third source of water is water that is recycled on the earth as a result of how God wired the topography of the earth. And then this water begins to form springs. Deuteronomy chapter 11, I'll just read from verse 11. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh waters of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from beginning of the year, even unto the end. Then if we see another scripture, see another scripture in the book of First Kings chapter 1 verse 9. If you read the book of First Kings chapter 1 verse 9, you'll see that when Absalom, you know, conceived that scheme that he wanted to become a king out of rebellion, he had to go to a spring. That spring is called En-Rogel, and it was there that he proclaimed himself king. And if you continue reading, you also see that when David learned of that rebellion, he called the prophet Nathan and some other priests and commissioned them to go to another spring to undo that thing which Absalom did. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 9. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohelet, which is by En-Rogel. Some translations say the spring of En-Rogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. So why is it that it was in this place where you had this body of water that Adonijah had to go to make himself king? If you continue reading, you will also see that David gave command that they should go to another spring, and there they should enthrone Solomon. Then, if we also look at another scripture, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 21, And he went forth unto the spring of waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be hence more any death or barren land. So, springs are talking of water that is recycled as a result of the topography of the earth. And these waters come in such a way that some of them have healing properties. If you go to, where do we have a Kogosi spring? Is it in Ekiti State? Is it Ondo? Ekiti State. Is Ekiti State. If you go there, tourists and all kind of people used to come there, because the water is reputed to have some healing properties. Now those things are not lies. It's just that because they are not redeemed, many times they are avenues for, you know, idol worship and things like that. But then there is something God put in there that is supposed to give us relief. And part of what we are supposed to do as priests is to redeem these waters and restore them to their original function and purpose. Then also there are ancient wells. If you go to Katsina State, and it's important we understand that Katsina State has a well in Daura that is called Kusugu Wells. Now, if you have internet, please Google this. Well, that well was said to have been discovered or dug in AD 675. I said ancient wells. And if you go there today, there is still water in that well. Very clean water. Now, and you ask yourself, what technology did they have in 675 AD to dig a well that we still have water on it today? And then the story behind that well is that a serpent used to live inside the water. And that serpent will not allow people to take water from that well except on Fridays. And then they had a queen A woman was their ruler, called Queen Daurama. And what happened was, at a time, a man came from Arabia, I don't know if it's Saudi Arabia or Iraq or somewhere, who was a sorcerer, a magician. His name was Bayajida. And by the time he got to that place, he was tired. He needed to drink water. And he approached the natives that they should give him water. They said, there's no water. The only well that has water, you can't take water from there except it's Friday. And he asked them to bring him to the queen, and he spoke to her and convinced her to let him deal with that serpent. And then he went there and through sorcery was able to kill that serpent. And then he ended up marrying the queen's slave and later married the queen. And through their union, he had the 7 Hausa states that they don't recognize as 4 Hausa states. And then through the queen, he had other Hausa states, including Sokoto, Kano, etc. And if you remember, when our president was inaugurated, when he won the election, the first thing he did before his inauguration was to go back to this well. Do we remember? Did we read it in the press? And then he took a title. He was actually given the title of Bayajida the Second. What statement was he making? He was saying, I'm going to come from my altar. Because if you go to this place till tomorrow, we were there in 2015. From all parts of the north, people used to come with water bottle to take water from that well. Many times, if they give birth to children, the first water they used to bath that child is from that well. When Usman Danfodio wanted to go for those campaigns and jihads, that was the place he trained. That was the place he consulted. That was the place he was empowered. And then he went on that rampage across the nation. So, that water is very powerful. And the light I have is that it's very powerful because God made it powerful. My own understanding is that that water is sitting on a confluence. Because there are waters that sit in a place where different bodies of water meet. For example, I've told you about Kogi Confluence, where the Niger, a river from the throne of God, meets the river from the flood. There's also a place called the Bermuda Triangle, where 3 bodies of water meet. The water from the deep, the water from the flood, the water from the throne of God. It becomes a confluence, it becomes a place to negotiate with for power. If you go to Anambra State, there's a place in Aguleri where 2 bodies of water meet, Ezu and Omambala. Ezu is the water from the flood that comes from Enugu State. Omambala River is the water of the Niger, is a tributary of the Niger that comes from the presence of God. And if you listen to the folklore, they actually say that it was there that Ezu River came to marry Omambala River, and that they joined themselves in union there. And if you go to that place till tomorrow, people from all parts of Nigeria used to come there to do rituals and sacrifice. The day God told us to go there, if you are on our newsletter, you would have read, because we published a letter to share what happened. If you come there, you know, the whole body of water, very large circumference, you will see all manner of sacrifices, red cloths, blood. Because God asked us to go there in 2013. They were preparing to have an election then in Anambra State. And the Lord asked us to go there and pray. And by the time we got to, if you know that area, Amobia Junction, from Amobia, We started seeing sacrifice on the road. And the Lord said to me, have you seen your people? Because we live in the West. And we used to say that the West, you know, Yorubas, you know, sometimes I had a Yoruba roommate in the university. We used to tell him, you cannot switch on a light without juju. And we had that mindset. To an extent, it's true. Many times, if a Yoruba man is a Christian, except God has dealt with him, if there are issues, he's not coming to the church. He's going somewhere. But after going that place, he will come to church and do shine shine. So that's why the Christianity is a bit on the surface. But the Lord said, you are talking of Yoruba people. Come, let me show you your people. And I went there with my brother that we used to discuss these things. By the time we got down in the junction, the Lord said to us, begin to count the number of sacrifices you will see on the road to the confluence. And I started counting. By the time I counted up to 100, I couldn't count again my eyes. Igbo people call it aju. You know, dizziness came upon me. And by the time we now reached, because we had to park the car somewhere, Okada took us somewhere. When Okada got to a certain point, he said, Oga, you say you people want to go there. I can't pass. Hey, this is where I wait for you. Go, when you come back, I will be there to take you back. And we now started walking. On the last stretch of the road to the confluence, come and see sacrifices. You can look. Then by the time we got there, you will see all manner of priests, women who were diviners. You know, some of them with whites, like this Sele prophet, some of them with red clothes, some of them. And they began to ask us, Ken Konobera, Onkeji Azotite, Onkeji Ewego. You know, that means, that is, which one have you come to do? Because if you come there, they know you've come for something. You come to negotiate. Do you come for the one to contest election, or the one to make money? And they began to tell us that even military generals used to come there. They are sacrificed. And we told them that we were explorers. Because that time we had learned that, you know, there's oil in that river. But do you know how they invested? I don't know if you heard of Orient Petroleum and refinery. They sunk millions of dollars to build a refinery, a massive infrastructure in that place. Nothing came out of it. It's because the water has not been redeemed. So by the time we told them we came to look at the water, so that because we are coming soon to do exploration, and then we hired a boat, they took us to the center of the water. By the time we finished what the Lord asked us to do, the water became angry. And I became afraid. And God sent an angel, and that angel came into our boat and said, I am King David. That the Lord came to ask me to come and accompany on this journey. And he began to speak Psalm 23. Though you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. And when we came out from that water, he began to tell us that God was going to send him back to the earth to come and teach worship. That all these things we are giving to waters are worship that are supposed to go to the Creator and God. You know, that is why prophetic ministers at this time must learn the art of worship and warfare. That is why I pray for this sister. Dr. Obon has that calling and grace. But I believe God will still have to do a deep work in them to come into the fullness of that ministry. Worship at this realm is warfare. Because worship is supposed to open the portals for God and his angels to come and do warfare. But the vessel that can bring that realm of worship has to be sanctified. It cannot be somebody who is singing for money, or somebody that they are hiring to come and do entertainment. No, because if you come to music, 99% of gospel musicians in Nigeria have their strength in the waters.
No.
Only 1% that you can say are sanctified.
Yes.
The other time we had a retreat in Lekki, I mentioned names. I said, if you are talking of Nigeria, you remember. So, because worship is the easiest way. Worship is spiritual. Worship is the easiest way to contact spirits. Because music was Satan's ministry. So we have to have ministers who can come in this realm and be able to deal with what is in the waters that is stealing worship from God. Then, of course, there are lakes and pools. And then there are oceans. Oceans are actually bodies of water that collect other waters. Other waters empty up in the ocean. And you have the ocean. There are different oceans on the earth today. All of them do not speak the same language. For example, we know of the Indian Ocean, we know of the Atlantic Ocean, we know of the Pacific Ocean. Towards the end, I'm going to tell you what some of these oceans do and why this body of water here is important. Because this body of water, even though it's the Atlantic Ocean, is actually connected to the eastern gates of the Atlantic, which is a major gateway for God to go to the nations. And that is why this place is very strategic. And even where we are standing in a gate. Now, what, as I want to say, we are primarily ordained by God to be a source of blessing on the earth. If we read another scripture, we see that beyond doubt. Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Now, if you want to put that scripture in a way to communicate to your heart, I can say that if you want to heal any nation, heal the waters of that nation. He says the waters of that river was for the healing of the nations. If you want to afflict a nation, afflict the waters in the nation. If you look at nations and states, many nations take their name after the waters. I'm from Imo State, Imo River. You are from Ogun State, Ogun River. You are from River State, River. River, Osu River.
Cross River.
Cross River.
Delta.
Delta. It's a river. So, if you are dealing with the nations, you are dealing with the waters, you are dealing with the kingdom in the waters, you are dealing with the priesthood in the waters. So, what is it that happened that this thing that God ordained to be a blessing now became a channel of affliction and a channel of corruption? We see the answer in scripture. If you read the scripture, you will discover that when the Lord expelled Lucifer from heaven after his rebellion, most of those angels settled in the waters. Because as they were expelled from heaven, some of them, as they were falling, some managed to hang themselves in some planetary systems. Some of them managed to hang themselves in some stars. Some of them managed to hang themselves in some parts of the sun. Some of them, most of them, ended up in the waters. And they built a kingdom in the waters, and they began to oppose the kingdom of God on earth from the waters. I shared with us that I had an experience on 9th April 2017. where I was taken to heaven and I attended a church service like this. And somebody was ministering, Derek Prince, and I was asked to listen, to hear what he had to say. And what he has to say was what I'm sharing with you today. Because these things, I didn't read it from any book. The Lord taught me. As I was listening to him, he said that Africa's waters were corrupted because of a transaction that Satan did with Nimrod. Now, if you read the Bible, Genesis chapter 10, you see the man Nimrod mentioned, who was the first monarch in the universe, the first man that began to build kingdoms. If you read the Bible, it says Nimrod, son of Cush, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. But this man was a black man. So in Genesis chapter 11, we meet him after he had transacted with Satan, starting to lead the nations on earth into rebellion against God. He said, let's build a tower that the ends of it will touch the heavens. So what happened to Nimrod is that Satan promised him something. He said, if you will be my friend, worship me, I'm going to make you a god. The same temptation with which he tempted Christ, that Christ said, worship the Lord alone, Nimrod succumbed to it. And Satan actually deceived him and made him some kind of god, because all systems of occultism on earth are based on the myth of Nimrod. Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, whatever. Certain religions like Catholicism, this mystery of mother and child, a virgin mother and child, is actually the mystery of Nimrod. Because what happened is that Satan now told Nimrod, well, you have to sleep with your mother to perfect the power. And she, the mother, actually deceived him, and he slept with his mother. The mother's name is Semiramis. You can Google it. And they slept together. In fact, the mother had to instigate him to kill his father. So he killed his father to marry his mother. So Nimrod was the first man that opened the door for Satan to have offsprings on earth, that he can say, these are my sons. People that were initiated into occultism. And they said, I will serve God, I will serve Satan, I will be his priest. And Satan took them and hanged them somewhere there, because if you call him tomorrow, he still appears. And many African traditions are rooted also in the mystery of Nimrod. Our thrones are thrones of Nimrod. If you listen to the liturgies and read the mystery of certain kingdoms, like the Oni of Ife, Oni is actually called the son of Lamorodu or Nimrod. And then if you also listen to certain people, gods, that they worship in our cultures, since we are in the West, if you look at talk of Shango, Shango is said to be the god of what? Thunder. Shango was a man. Shango was actually the third and last thing of Oyo. But today, if you call Shango, he appears. Because Satan has made him something through the mystery of iniquity. There are two mysteries in the Bible. Mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Mystery of godliness is God came and became a man to pay the price of sin and passed through the gate of death, and God raised him and exalted him again. And we are called to the same inheritance. The end result of our being Christian is to be like Christ. Yes. Is it not true?
Yes.
To be made gods like Christ, having glorified bodies that cannot succumb to death. So, what Satan promised was actually a fake. What God wants to do, he now said he will do it. And he now did it in the negative direction. Because those people are forever damned. They are beyond redemption. And many people today that have access to power, through prices they pay to Satan, they become like gods. And if you meet them as man, you will be defeated. They will crush you. Because by the time you go through some rituals, you become dehumanized until your nature is completely altered. You are not human again. That is what happens to our kings. That is why the idolatry that gives birth to our traditional rulers is actually a mystery unto death. Before you become any traditional ruler of significance, the mystery of Nimrod says we will have to be like me and become a god. And they pass through series of initiations. By the time they finish, they are no longer human. And this is what happened to Pharaoh. So the waters were corrupted because of this descent of angels as they were displaced in heaven. They took residence there. And we've read some scriptures when we were praying yesterday. Let's look at Nahum again. Nahum chapter 2 from verse 6. It says, the gates of the river shall be opened, the palace shall be dissolved, and Huzab shall be led away captive. Who is this Huzab? A principality, a fallen angel that is venerated as king in the water kingdom, that has a palace, that has a kingdom, a community. When I had that experience on 16 September 2015, when we went into the waters in Cross River State, we entered an expressway, fully built, Broadway like this. But that type of street is not in Calabar, but it's inside the waters. And recently we were in Calabar, one of the pastors, if I mention his name, some of us will know him, was sharing with us what happened in his church. He runs a prayer center in Calabar, Prayer City. That somebody walked in there one day and was telling them, because there they travel with boats sometimes. Their boat came size, they had a storm, and the whole passengers, were lost, they couldn't be found. And they now found themselves inside the kingdom, and he said they were brought in before a court. That there is a court inside that water kingdom. And then they tried them, and that almost all of them were found guilty. But that as he was there, one of the men he had helped sometime in life saw him and said, what brought you here? And he said, well, you were nice to me sometime, I'm going to help you. That man is alive, but he belonged to that kingdom. And he goes there in his body. Maybe he is a judge or a lawyer. And then he took him, brought him and led him for some days, and brought him on one road and pointed to him, say, walk straight, that you will come into the land. And he started walking. And by the time he appeared online, he discovered it has been 2 days walking. And they picked him on the shore. And he said to be taken to church. And he was telling the pastor, this is what happened. And pastor said he could confirm, because actually there was a record that a boat capsized, but there was no survivor. They just saw the boat. So there are kingdoms in the waters that we are dealing with. If you also read Nahum chapter 3 from verse 4, it says, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlots, the mystery of witchcraft that sells nations through her whoredom and families through her witchcraft. So this kingdom sells nations. They trade the destiny of nations. And the Lord said to us that Nigeria was sold by a man and bought by a kingdom. The man who sold Nigeria was an occultist. Because many of the people that came here as colonial masters were Masons. Masons. At a time in Nigeria, almost all our judges were Masons. I know, because I'm a lawyer. Now it's beginning to change. But that is still what happens. We read Isaiah 23 verse 4 yesterday. These kingdoms have legislations and decrees that they make concerning cities and nations. In Isaiah 23, it says, the kingdom in the waters has spoken, I travail not, nor bring up virgins. I do not nourish young men. That means ladies that come out from that kingdom are not going to be able to keep their virginity. They are going to be lured into whoredom and prostitution. And then churches that arise from that place, except the church, the pastor is paying a price, can never be able to raise a holy generation. Because spiritual idolatry gives rise to fornication, whoredom. And if you go to riverine communities, that is what you see. In 2014, we were in Uganda for a mission. And in Uganda, like I said about the river that is called Gihon or Nile, if you go there, because if you come to the origin of that water, it flows not as the Nile, but on the southern part, it's Lake Victoria. One of the most blessed waters on the face of the earth. And that is why the Queen of England went and put her name there. If you go there, the kind of fishes they catch there, you don't get them any other place on earth. Very rich. And this lake is in Uganda, is in Kenya, is in Burundi, about 3 to 4 African nations. And we met brethren there, Christians, and we were telling them, how can you be in this environment? Why don't you just be a fisherman? Because if you go to see the kind of fishes they catch there. And then these brethren laughed and said they have tried all that. That if you buy a boat and go and borrow money and buy a boat, that the second day you enter that water, that boat will spoil. So they did, and did their small prayer and started, their boat not tingling, and they entered into debt. And they started researching, what is happening? And some of the other fishermen who were making it began to laugh and say, you think you can just come from anywhere and take your boat into the water? If you want to enter, there's a way. Come, let's tell you how it is done. And by the time they started discussing, it was pointing to come and be initiated into our cult. And they said, we are Christians, we can't do that. He said, well, you are not yet ready to fish. And they did some small fasting and tried again. The same thing happened. And then the day we went to Uganda, we were praying with them. The Lord gave us this scripture that there is a decree from the water there that you have to pass through a process to fish in that water. And that decree needs to be broken. And the Lord didn't give us liberty to address it. He said, teach these people the way of the kingdom. Let them grow into sonship so that they will have what it will take to overcome that kingdom. Either you submit to it or you overcome it. And if you like, go and ask the people there in a question whether they just get up and go and start fishing. So these kingdoms have statements and legislations they make. Now, the next thing I would like to deal with is that these waters, there's a way they are configured to control spheres, to control nations, to control government, to control businesses. If you look at Exodus chapter 7, let's go back to that scripture. God never asked Moses to go and deal with Pharaoh without making sure that Moses himself rose in stature. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Is it in your own Bible? Then God began to tell Moses, go and wait for Pharaoh as he is going to his altar. Go and meet him there and address him. 7 verse 15. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth unto the waters. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink. Against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in thy hand. So Moses, go with your rod, wait for Pharaoh. In the junction, he passes to go to his altar and confront him there and deal with him. If Moses didn't judge the water spirits behind the throne of Pharaoh, he wouldn't have been able to take Israel out of their hand. Remember, whatever he did in the first three instances, Pharaoh replicated it. He threw his serpent, his rod became serpent. Pharaoh laughed. He said, "What kind of childish craft is this?" And he turned to the child and at his left hand said, "I will not even call the Abalaba, let this child come." And he did his own, he did another one, until the fourth one. And then those people tell him, "This one is the finger of God. This one, no human being on earth can replicate this." So we have to get to that place where the finger of God begins to show up in our ministry. Otherwise, we have no answer to the water kingdom. If you read Exodus chapter 8, verse 20, the same thing. Go and wait for Pharaoh. He is going to... Pharaoh was not going to the water to bath. No, these people built their palaces in such a way that they created swimming pools from the river into their palace. We've gone to that place. Where is that place? At Alexandria. If you see their distance, water comes into their palace. Those people knew how to live. So he was going there to meet with the water spirit that was a power before behind his throne. You can't be a Pharaoh without going through some rituals that will make you God. When you are talking, it's that water kingdom that is talking. So how are these things used to control nations? If we put three scriptures together, you will see the answer. Let's look at again Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am a God, I sit where? In the seat of God, where? In the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God." Now, this is talking about the mystery of prayer. So, that scripture, what it's saying is something like this. A man who will be a high priest, a priest. A man. A spirit that is in the heavens. Then another demon in the waters. Wherever you replicate this triangle, you will be in touch. The prince of Tyre. Now, this is talking about somebody who has gone through initiations, that he is now not considering himself a man. He said, "I am God, and I sit in the seat of God in the middle of the seas." But he is a man. But he has become a prince. A prince is talking about a son. Somebody who has received a throne. A throne is talking about a seat. Here, somebody that Satan has given a seat. There are businessmen who has been given thrones by Satan. If you come to the realm of oil and gas, they are the princes there. They are the people who determine what happens. There are politicians that Satan has given a seat in the water. We were talking and dealing with one of them yesterday. And when he was called and he was coming in the realm of the spirit, did he come like that? He came with a serpent wrapped around him.